Good morning. It's the show on KJZZ 91.5. I'm Lauren Gilger, along with Mark Brody and Steve Goldstein.
Post-traumatic stress disorder is most often identified with soldiers or those who've experienced or witnessed horrible acts of violence or situations of sadness. More recently, the term has become associated with people who are suffering from harsh illnesses like cancer and to caregivers who help support those patients. Dr. Fermonta Meyer is a psychiatrist at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute's Department of Psychosocial Oncology and Palliative Care. She says PTSD rates among cancer survivors are a bit higher than the general population, and she's with me via Skype to talk about that. Dr. Meyer, how do cancer and PTSD intersect?
There are a lot of ways that cancer can lead to trauma, which in turn can lead to PTSD. So the trauma in the case of cancer could be from the diagnosis, how the patient receives the diagnosis, or aspects of the treatments themselves, the side effects, or it could result from being hospitalized for your cancer, or even having, you know, a medical event, a near-death experience.
Once one is accepting at least of the diagnosis, that perhaps there are steps along the way to try to deal with avoiding the PTSD factor here. But when you first get the diagnosis, if it is a surprise, if it is a shock, is there a way for us to react to it other than fear, other than surprise? I mean, when it comes to that initial diagnosis, you can't really prepare yourself for that, right, mentally?
That's right. I think it really depends on how the patient receives the diagnosis. I think there are certain things clinicians can think about to make this better for patients. So to make sure if you're a clinician and you have to deliver a cancer diagnosis, to make sure the patient, that you're doing it in person, that you're not calling someone on the phone, that you ask people to bring in family members, to bring in support, so people aren't alone in the setting of that conversation. But as you say, it's not totally preventable. You're often having to deliver bad news, and that even if you set up all the conditions properly, it can still be traumatic.
How much involves having a support system, whether it's a terrific family, terrific friends, a great doctor, whatever it may be, to make it so that when you get into this situation and you decide to go have treatment or surgery, whatever it is that's needed, that you actually are comfortable doing it, I guess, in the sense of rather than saying, I don't want to relive the fact of how traumatic it was to get this diagnosis, so I'm not even going to follow through? Or, I mean, is there a risk of that? Is there a risk of someone being so afraid of having to revisit that initial fear that they don't treat it the same way they might have otherwise?
Absolutely. So one of the symptoms of PTSD is avoidance. So in severe cases, people can actually avoid further treatment or avoid further things that would cause them to have to, you know, experience that situation again. So certainly one of the big risk factors for developing PTSD is having limited social support. So I think it is easier for patients who have, you know, more of a better social network to begin with. And for those who don't, you know, really working on that and trying to, you know, involve people in your care and your clinical care team who can help you with that is really important.
Are there certain people you should feel comfortable talking with about it? Or would you recommend in some cases, if the person is really having those PTSD symptoms, to try to take it in a mild way, maybe talk about it in steps?
I think you raise a good point about the fact that it's important for people to go at their own pace in terms of talking about trauma. So we often actually advise patients against talking about it with anyone and everyone who will listen and talking about traumatic experiences in extreme detail in that way, because it can actually almost be re-triggering. So I think it's important to think about people in your support network, to think about which people are capable of being supportive listeners and being best at handling that type of thing versus people who may be better at helping with more practical types of things like giving rides or providing financial support, other things like that. So kind of, you know, taking it step by step, you know, maybe talking about bits and pieces of it. And then, you know, involving a professional, involving a therapist, a social worker, a psychologist, or a psychiatrist for some of the more, to process some of the emotional reactions as well.
That's a fascinating point about talking to the right people about it, because there may be obviously friends, family members who obviously want to do everything they can to help you, but when they hear it or they hear a diagnosis, they might start crying or they might start being upset, and that might upset the patient even more potentially, right?
Exactly. I think that, you know, sometimes people have their own reactions to when they hear about something like a cancer diagnosis, and people worry about, like, could this happen to me as well? And some people aren't able to kind of set that aside and be a support to the person who's giving them the news or the information. So a lot of my patients will tell me, like, I figure out who's, you know, who I can turn to for these things. And there just are some people that are not going to be able to, you know, help me with every aspect of what I need help with.
Dr. Meyer, let's talk a little bit about caregivers. When they are with a loved one that they're trying to help get through this kind of treatment, it could be any kind of treatment, but specifically when it comes to cancer treatment, how much can PTSD then affect the caregivers as they're seeing someone they love suffer so much?
So I certainly have had patients who were caregivers for a spouse or for a loved one and who unfortunately witnessed, for example, a difficult death, you know, where their family member was in pain or suffering with physical symptoms that weren't perfectly controlled. And in the context of seeing that and feeling helpless and overwhelmed, they developed PTSD symptoms. They had nightmares or flashbacks of those events. And so that's the situation that I've seen it most commonly in. You know, caregivers have many different roles, but I think one thing that can be common to the caregiving experience is kind of feeling helpless. Like you're not, you don't have total control over how your loved one is coping with this or doing with it. So I think that helplessness certainly can be a risk factor for experiencing some of these things as trauma.
Is there the potential that the lingering parts of the worst we see of our loved ones linger with us longer than the great years we had?
I think that's sadly that can be how PTSD works. So you don't choose what you're having nightmares or what you're having intrusive memories of. And so, you know, PTSD symptoms often will exactly be that. It's like, these are not the memories I want, but these are exactly the ones that I then have. So, you know, certainly we do see that. When I'm working with caregivers, I find myself really harping on self-care. Like, what breaks are you taking? What are you doing to take care of yourself? Like, have you been to your own doctor? Like, how is that kind of playing out? And I think that, unfortunately, that's one of the first things that goes when you're in that situation of having to care for a loved one. So, you know, I think it's good to have someone in your life, you know, really holding you accountable, hopefully, for doing that and you know, encouraging you to reach out and access whatever other support you can get to help you care for that person.
Dr. Fermonta Meyer is a psychiatrist at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute's Department of Psychosocial Oncology and Palliative Care.